Hey everybody, on this episode of the Master Chef After Show, we're breaking down the finale parts 1 and 2. Let's do it!
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV! And now, let the buzz begin!
Ooh.
There you go. Oh,
look at this. Yes! Like, there you go! Thanks, Nelly! Look at that! It was getting hot in here in the MasterChef kitchen. Welcome, everybody, to the MasterChef After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. We're going to be breaking down, as I said, episodes, the finale, episodes 1 and 2, or parts 1 and 2. So,
yeah,
the finale.
I think it's 18 and 19.
Yeah, 18 and 19. Episodes 18 and 19, part finale 1 and 2. Look at that. So
A
many
and
different
B.
ways. Yeah.
Something hey, better than nothing.
That's right. Yeah. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie.
Yes, and I am Maria Provenzano. You can find me on Twitter at Maria Provenzano, and all of my information will be there. And I didn't bake anything today. I did
Trust
not
me.
Bake anything for
My
the
tummy
finale.
Knows that.
I know.
Just know my tummy feels the neglect.
I did not have time, Frank. I'm so sorry.
Check out our Instagram feed. There is a beautiful picture of some pumpkin poppers there that look spectacular. Cinnamon sugar on top?
Well, yeah, you put butter on it, and then you roll it in like a sugar and pumpkin pie spice mixture. Pumpkin pie spice, Frank. It's
okay.
Fall.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I have to stop talking about that or I'm gonna weep even more than I am. But, folks, as always, we'd love it if you'd like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hop in the chat. As Maria's got her computer here, we've got the chat rolling live as well. So if you have any thoughts about the finale, any last cooking questions you want to get in, this is the time to ask Maria Provenzano. Look at that. We've got her back in the studio after a couple weeks on remote location.
On remote. One time was a babysitter issue, and then last week I was sick, which is still this week. But I had to be here to tough it out.
Look at this. You give it your all to the MasterChef fans.
I try. Plus, this is better lighting than I think what I've given you in the past 2 weeks.
What? Oh, come on now. Fantastic. What are you talking about? So, we've been going 17 episodes, and we finally get down to this. We've narrowed it down to 3 home cooks competing.
Yeah, maybe not the 3 we wanted.
No, okay.
But,
so, dream 3?
I think Sean deserved to be there.
Yes.
I really do. Sean, Brandy, who I, by the way, have said that it was going to be those two in the end a while ago. So, kudos to myself for that one. But then I also think that I would have liked Tenoria, but I think Andrea would have been really cool if she would have been able to, like, been able to go that far. She'd get cut so soon.
I'm torn between Andrea and Terry because I feel like...
Oh, yeah, that would have been... Mm.
Yeah, I mean, unlike Tenoria, we kind of saw her, I mean, kind of maybe a slight plateau.
Yeah.
When she went, but I felt like, Terry and Andrea were kind of knocked out when they, just on technicalities or just like a competition that was, just not their forte.
Yeah.
And we felt like, I felt like you never got a chance to see if they had some potential that was left untapped.
That's true.
But we have David, Sean, and Brandy here and there. And we start off where, of course, Gordon wants to remind everybody where these home cooks have come from. And this was my least favorite part of the episode, the one that just seems so heavily produced, so cheesy, where Gordon and Christina travel around the country, both to Kentucky and to Vegas, to go visit on Brandy, David, and Sean.
I didn't mind it.
Oh,
I'm
come
not gonna
on.
Lie. I really wanted to see where Brandy was from because they talk about it so much. So I don't be mad. Don't judge me.
I'm not judging you,
Frank. Don't judge me.
But
all I'm saying is I thought it was cool to see where she was from. The Vegas thing I didn't care about so much. That those two seemed a little fake. But I thought the Brandy one was cute. I kind of wish like there would have been people in different, you know what I mean? Like Tenoria would have been kind of cool to see where she's from.
Yeah. I just thought that it was... There was so much potential that was left untapped in something like that. There was like too much of that cheesy staged banter between Gordon and Christina in the SUV as they're driving. The GPS doesn't work. We can't get a radio station. I have to use a map. You're driving too slow. It was just so cheesy.
It was. It definitely was cheesy. I'm not saying it wasn't cheesy.
Yeah.
I still wanted to see where Brandy was from.
And just from a production standpoint, I know and I'm sure they tell the contestants like, hey, we're just having a camera here, just getting some footage of you doing your kind of thing. And they don't maybe tell them that Gordon and Christina are coming, but it just seems so fake to have them just in the classroom and then be like so shocked that Gordon and Christina are there. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But my biggest thing is if you compare it to Project Runway. Do you watch that show?
I don't.
Well, at the end, when
I'm
he gets down
stylish.
To the people in the final competition, Tim Gunn, before they get to the finale, he will go and visit them because you usually get, I think like maybe a month or two off between the last episode and then the finale. Okay. And they get a chance to go and work on their huge, big fashion runway show that they're going to be doing. So they're
lying. That would take a lot of time to do.
Yeah. And what I like is that when Tim goes to visit them, he gets a little flavor of their life, but then he also takes a look at what their collection is so far.
Mm.
And he'll give them some initial feedback. And, you know, whether they decide to listen to that or not, it's ultimately their choice. But, I mean, he doesn't hold back on his feelings about their collection.
So you think they should have been cooking some of their things and they could have tried it?
I wouldn't have minded that.
That actually is a good idea. I like that. I like that idea. Yeah. Maybe you can send them...
Yeah, I would think...
What connections do we have to MasterChef?
Yes,
to
come on, MasterChef.
But that's not a bad idea, to see, like, what they're working on, maybe taste something.
Yeah.
Or... Because they asked them their game plan. Their game plan was so... Brandy's like, I love the savory and the sweet, and there was just no game plan, really.
No, and it was just so generic, just in terms of what they were going to do. That it was really, because they just, you know, what is this going to mean if you win? What's your game plan? And then they would just tell them something, and they would just really not
I get some money, I'm going to pay my rent, or my mortgage, or like, send my kid to school. What do you think it means?
Yeah, that was really just not my favorite part of that whole thing.
But I will say, something that it did show, and maybe they're trying to amp this up a bit, was that, you know, Brandy had something to go back to with, you know, her students, her family, her son. David had something, you know, he has some family, but his daughter. And Sean didn't really, like, he had his mom and maybe some friends, but, like, it seemed like he didn't, he had more on the line. Because he doesn't have as much to go back to. That was my own perspective.
Sure, he's a DJ in Vegas.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
That's not like, a bad lifestyle.
Well, no, but he doesn't have, like, anything of gravity and substance when he goes home at night. You know what I mean?
I think the music's his substance.
But he didn't want to do it anymore, is the thing. If he loved it, then great. But he was like, this is not, like, I like it, but it's not what I want to be doing right now. Do you want him to be like a 6-year-old DJ? Like, you got to think long term.
Fingers crossed. So you could have one of those, like, really, like, somber looking DJ billboards that you see out here in Los Angeles. Like, anytime they're promoting DJs, like, in Vegas. Yeah, they're just so, like, like, why would you don't
like
look fun
Steel
at all? Yeah, why would I want to come listen to you?
I would be a terrible DJ. I would play Britney Spears, like old school Britney Spears, old school Michael Jackson, like back to the 90s. That's what I've been listening to lately.
Oh, that wouldn't be a bad deal. What I did like, Sean, at least from the exterior, seemed like he was rocking a nice, like, yeah, huge house.
It looked really big, yeah.
But then I like that Gordon and Christina, like, they sneak in through the back. Like, whoa. What was that?
Oh, my God. Frank's stuck on this.
I'm so stuck.
This part.
Yeah. So we get through that, and they finally, we're back present day. We're back here for the competition. And then we have to do, like, the intros for each of the chefs. And I did like David and Sean, they really put on, like, their game faces for a second, like, really scowling. And then Brandy's just like, hello.
Well, that's her personality.
Yeah, but I felt like, come on, enough with the scowling, dudes. What are you talking about? Ugh.
Yeah.
With that. But then we find out it's not just Gordon and Christina that are going to be helping crown the winner for this. They're bringing in two hugely talented chefs. They're bringing in Wolfgang Puck and Daniel Boulard.
Boulard? I don't know.
Boulard. I think that's correct. Sarah there in the chat says, I wish they'd had a Last Chance Kitchen, like on Top Chef. That's true. That would be a nice little spin to MasterChef. Because there is a lot of great talent in there that I feel like sometimes gets knocked out so soon. It would be cool to give them a chance.
Sarah, that's a great idea as well.
And one I'm surprised that MasterChef hasn't done, because so many other the reality shows are offering up that last chance because it's great digital content for them to do.
It is, yeah.
And then you get something else to get everybody really excited about the finale. So, yeah, Sarah, I don't know why MasterChef hasn't done that. Perhaps that's something they'll try next year, because they've been tweaking with the formula slightly, so maybe they'll do that.
Okay.
We'll see.
Yeah, they were tweaking with the formula. Like you said, the contestants got in a different way this time. So you never know.
So, all right. Yeah, I'd be down. I'd absolutely be down for that.
Yeah,
great
I think
idea,
that's
Sarah.
A great idea. Yeah.
So we have, so the deal is for the finale, you're going to be doing a 3-course dinner, 4 plates per course, and they get 10 minutes in the pantry. Yeah, I would imagine.
Four plating per course, yeah.
Yeah, because I feel like it's so much like, I mean, I guess plating one plate and plating 4 plates. I mean, I guess
they also look the same. They also look perfect.
Yeah. So, I mean, you have to back time 3 additional plates in there to put together to be able to bring up to the chef. So that, I guess, just eats into how you want to handle your time management.
Yeah.
Oof. Yeah.
It would be really tough.
And, you know, the one thing I thought was, like, 10 minutes, I didn't need to see, like, the 10 minutes in the pantry. That was just wasted. Because we already knew they knew what they were going to do. It wasn't like they were just going into the pantry just like, what am I going to cook?
You know, they have so much filler, I will say. You know, when we cut to commercial and then come back, they, like, catch you up on, like, a big long minute of what that was just happening. I get it, but they have a lot to fill, it seems like.
There was a little padding in this, and I really was getting irritated by their tosses to break, where they would just kind of really build up like false suspense.
Yeah.
To when they come back, you're like, okay, whatever. Like Brandy cutting up her pork belly. And they deliberately put in another audio to make you think that it's gone terribly wrong.
Yeah.
Like, oh, no, it's perfect. Like, oh, come on, guys. But we found out first round, of course, is the appetizer. So, of course, you want to turn dessert, right?
David, I do.
Oh, yes. Just give me dessert. Three courses of dessert. I'd be all in for
that. That would be awesome.
David does a beet-cured salmon with a soft-boiled egg and shredded phyllo dough with a salmon roe caviar.
Mm-hmm.
Brandy does a bourbon-based crispy pork belly with apricot barbecue sauce over a butternut squash and parsnip puree with raw rhubarb and a Swiss chard salad.
You got everything. Yeah. Yes.
There you go. And then, Sean, miso halibut cheek on top of a carrot puree with a molecular uni foam and some, as he says, some beautiful garnishes, which I'm like, what is that? It's just a beautiful garnish.
Well, molecular garnishes was a foam, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, the molecular uni foam.
You did so good in science in high school. Molecular.
Molecular.
That's like a, what do they think? What do you do before, like, theater? You would do those mouth things?
Oh,
like,
yes.
Molecular.
But
should have done that tonight.
But they get so specific in all those little details, and then just end with this last thing he's going to do, and some beautiful garnishes. Well, okay, what's that? What was that? I don't understand that. And again, the one thing that I like as we're watching them cook, and I kind of like the way that they kind of change the cooking area.
Yeah, I thought circle. It was a little bit more intimate.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be stressful. It was almost like a. What do they call it? The fights where people are surround the cage?
Oh, yeah, like the like a cage match or something like that.
Okay, but there's like an octagon? WWE? Is that what that is? You guys, I don't know anything about wrestling. All I know is like when there's a fight and there's like lots of people around watching, that's what it felt like to me. That's what it felt like. I thought that there's like a lot of pressure and a lot of screaming. It would have been stressful.
Gordon comes up to Sean and asks why he isn't playing it safe. Which, that question just seems so, why would you ask that question in a competition?
Because you
like
guys
that?
have told us to not play it safe this whole time.
Yes, like that. Why are you bothering to, you know what the answer is going to be.
Right.
I don't know, Gordon. I just thought, why not today? You know, like, of course, you don't want them to play it safe. You keep telling them the whole season that you want to see them bust out of the comfort zone. We want to see who you are on a plate.
Yeah.
You know, so anybody can cook something very much middle of the road, but that's not what you want. And you've told us that all season. So to ask me now at the end. Like, why aren't you playing it safe? Like, so this is the time I could have played it safe?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thanks. Oh,
I feel like I'd be so annoyed with them coming and talking to me while I was cooking. And, like, David even was saying that when he was doing the eggs. He's like, kind of hard to peel the eggs and talk at the same time. Yeah. And he actually said it in a very decent way. He didn't have any, like, temper tantrums in this one. But I felt that way whenever they ask him questions. I'm like, oh, my God, leave them alone.
How are you as you're cooking? With people like talking to you, are you?
Depends on what I'm doing, I think. Because I grew up in the kitchen, you know, so I'm used to that being the place where you talk about stuff. But if I'm like getting ready for a dinner party and my husband's like standing there talking to me, then I'm annoyed with him.
Only because you just want to keep the focus on what.
Yeah,
preparation.
if I'm like stressed for time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like I don't have time to talk. I just gotta focus on what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I can understand. And
or if it's like not going well.
Yeah. And that is something that you're not going to get $250,000 on a cookbook at the end. I mean, that's still just pressure alone.
Right.
But you add that on top of it. Please just leave me alone, guys. Let me just cook.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to do that.
I know, but they got to do it.
There we go. Sarah agreeing in the chat that the home visits were cheesy and scripted. Yes, I agree, Sarah. Oh, my goodness.
Don't add fuel to his fire.
But then again, as we've seen back during that home visit, speaking of that, and again now, Sean brings out the picture of his dad, and that's why he's doing everything, and he's getting all teary-eyed and stuff. I'm like, oh, man, you know, enough. Like, when he brought it was one thing to bring it out at the home visit. Like, we knew about that, but to see it again. But then to bring it out again... That got really tiresome. Like, just so you know, Daniel Boulard, this is why I'm doing it.
But do you think that that's why they asked him to do it? Like, for production?
Yeah, make sure you bring that picture with us. Put it in a little Ziploc so it doesn't get dirty. And then break it out and cry for us. Thank you, Sean.
Frank is so bad. Oh, my God.
But they finish their meals. They bring it in. And I did like, you bring in all the plates there. What I liked is that it was just, there was a lot of difference of opinion for every round.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah, I did too.
A very contentious, especially with Christina and Gordon, Christina and Daniel, when they break into French for a while.
Oh, that was funny. Stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. So with I thought with the appetizers, though, in my opinion, the one that looked the most appealing to me was Brandy's. The pork belly looked really, really good.
And the way Gordon reacted to it, I mean, he wasn't a fan of the puree, which he and Daniel got on this nice
French
side
target. Which I thought was stupid, yeah. That's when you're talking about the French. Yeah.
But the rhubarb on top of the pork belly, I mean, mm-hmm. the fact that he said, like, this is something I want to forever use in future menus.
Isn't that crazy?
I want to use that. Like, wow, what an awesome, what a great compliment.
Yeah.
But it makes you want to, like, go. I want to go to, like,
I want to try it.
But I also want to go to Gordon Ramsay's restaurant to see if he's really telling the truth.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no pork belly and there's no rhubarb. Liar.
Dirty liar.
Yeah. What I thought is, like, Sean's, for as confident as he was.
Right.
Especially at the beginning, when he told Wolfgang, like, oh, yeah, I'm going to win this.
And yeah,
he's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'll tell you who's going to win this.
I thought that was a little, it's not becoming when someone is that cocky.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you can say I'm really proud of what I made and it turned out how I wanted, but you shouldn't be. Like, that's not nice.
No, and I thought, I mean, it definitely took the wind out of Sean's sails when they did not enjoy his appetizer.
Have you ever had morel mushrooms?
I have not.
Oh, my God, they're wonderful. And you can only get them in a certain season. And it's like, I believe it's like August, like end of summer. But we have them in northern Michigan, and they're expensive. But they are so wonderful. So he pickled them. And I was like, even when I saw that he pickled morels, I was like, it doesn't make sense, really. I don't know if I've had a pickled mushroom before, but it seems like it would, because mushrooms absorb so much of the liquid that anything you put them in, that it would be so acidic.
Yeah, I mean, because I'd imagine he must have tested this dish out to see if
it works for him. Yeah.
So I feel like that's always one of the foibles of a cooking, is that something that may taste incredibly great to you may
true.
Not translate to the general populace.
That's
in
true.
Terms of taste.
Yeah.
So you could be sitting there like, and that might be a dish you may, like, I don't care. I love pickled morel mushrooms with my...
True.
Yeah, but as a general consensus, it seems like that nobody appreciated his tactic.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, the halibut, they said, was cooked nicely, but it was sort of like all the other fluff. Like, the foam that he was so excited about didn't really add anything.
I think the reason for the mushrooms is because he was doing as many textures as he could. So with the mushroom, you get a different texture from the halibut cheeks and from the foam, and then you have the uni. So, you know, I don't know. I think that's kind of what he was going for, but as for the super vinegary mushroom, like,
well, that's
I'll
the
pass.
Thing. Yeah, you want to add in... acid is one of the things you want to add into food to add balance. So that could have been, like, along with possibly texture. I think, I mean, I like mushrooms if you can keep a little bit of, like, the body in them. Sometimes if you cook them down too much, they're mush. But I think that... it was more the acidity, too, that he was wanting to add in.
It didn't... whatever his game plan
was. It didn't go well.
Yes, it did not go well. And then we have... but I did like, he does get a little dressing down from Gordon in terms of that. Because he was like, please don't be arrogant. We're just trying to give you constructive criticism.
Yeah, well, it was weird because he, like, said something about French food. I'm like, you picked the wrong person to say that in front of. Like, the French guy. Really?
I think they kind of made a mountain out of a molehill there, though, because he wasn't trying to insult French food. And then he, like, just said, I was just trying to do what you asked. And then they said he was arrogant. I was like, I would just say, don't talk back. I would say,
arrogant. Don't talk back. Yeah, I agree. And I actually don't think he was trying to be arrogant. I think he was just really like, I tried all these things. And, like, even if it's not just French, it's not just Asian, like, I put all these things together because, you know, da, da, da. So I think I feel like, yes, I don't think he was trying to be arrogant. I think it did come. And when I was watching, I was like, why did you just say that? I think it came off that way by accident. But I think the French guy kind of took it a little personal.
Oh, it was French.
But, you know, they're looking for something.
And then with David's, it seemed like his was well received, except for the phyllo dough. They seem like they feel like it may have been better as potato as opposed to that.
Well, Christina didn't really think it was that pretty of a dish. And to be honest with you, I agree with her.
It did look just a bunch of, like, just shredded stuff on top of
it. Yeah, it was, and I think it was probably the phyllo dough. But it intrigued me to the point where I wanted to try it, actually.
Hmm.
I thought it looked, you didn't want to try it?
No, it just seemed like... Maybe I think I have to agree with some of the judges who said if it had been potato based, I think I'd have been more interested in that than just using phyllo dough.
Yeah.
But they finish the first round and they go off and let the judges kind of debate for a moment. And it seemed like from as they're talking, it seemed like Brandy kind of had the lead on that out of coming out.
It
of
seemed like it, yeah.
Or at least out of the appetizer portion. And then we get to the entree round. And what I liked is that Sean, at least, you know, for whatever their kind of, you know, differences of opinion mm-hmm. or miscommunications that they had during the appetizer portion, he was taking their feedback and really kind of adjusting how he was going to approach his entree dish.
Right, right.
So I was like, all right. I mean, I appreciated the fact that he was willing to adapt on the fly, too, because he kind of saw what he was trying to do wasn't going so well.
I mean, how much do you think he really adapted in terms of what he was planning, though? You know what I mean? I think he's still kind of had planned somewhat of the same dish. I think he just sort of changed his attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, well, in considering figuring out however you want to decide those pre-competition interviews, mm-hmm. The home visits were done. I mean, he was bringing up using liquid nitrogen, a lot of molecular gastronomy, maybe
molecular
gastronomy. Blah, blah, blah. That's going to be one of those. I'm going to take a little sip of water for every time.
Well, there you go.
So perhaps he had more in mind to do something like that, use some of those techniques in that, and decided, no, I maybe should dial some of that back. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah, maybe he did cut something out. You're right. He probably might have had something else involved.
What I did like, though, was at least through Brandy's approach for all mm-hmm. this, you know, whatever you think of, I felt like out of everybody, I felt like I could see her roots mm-hmm. in all the dishes that she cooked, because she always had some sort of component that had a very much of a Southern feel that had been elevated or transformed into something else.
I agree. And that was her goal. And I think she achieved it. I mean, of course, we don't know because we didn't eat the food, but everything that she had done was just a glamorized version of good Southern comfort food, which I think was her ultimate goal, you know?
Yeah. No, I thought that was just out of everybody. I was more excited to eat her food as she was presenting the concepts and the dishes. Yes. I was like, oh, yeah, it seems... I would order that before I'd order anything else.
And something that surprised me in this entree round is that as the proteins that everyone chose were very gamey. Very gamey. So David had the guinea hen, Brandy had the duck, and Sean had the venison. And I have not personally cooked at home any of those. I've eaten them in restaurants. So I don't know the degree of difficulty. I know, like, basically that they're all really tough and that they can be really gamey if cooked incorrectly.
Sean's presentation, though, for his venison dish, really like that.
I thought it was so beautiful.
Yeah, and just for some reason, anybody that used like a cross section of a piece of a tree as their kind of serving dish for that's just such a cool idea.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, they make a lot of platters like that. I have one. I use it a lot for photography, but they're really pretty. The one that I have, so I was actually curious about this. Was the one that I have actually smells kind of smoky. I was like, is this supposed to smell like this? So I wonder if that added into any of like the smoke, if theirs actually smelled that way or if it was just like fake.
Oh, interesting.
And because his idea was he wanted it woodsy and earthy and smoky and, you know, things like that, which I thought was, I thought his angle was really interesting. They were a little worried about like the coffee, the ancho chili, and the truffles working well together, but it looked beautiful.
Because I always feel like many criticisms that you hear in these cooking competitions is just having the ability to edit, because there's sometimes you can just overload a dish with so many ingredients and you need to know when to strain and pull you back. When he starts rattling off all those different kinds of seasonings and ingredients, for you, do you're like, man, that just seems, I don't know, that seems like too much? Or is it like, oh, it could all work together?
When they were talking about it, I didn't think the truffles were going to work with all the other things. I really didn't. But they said it seemed to, so I thought it would have been an interesting flavor. Everything else seemed to make sense except the truffles, but truffles are so gourmet that he probably was just, like, aching to put them in there. Plus, they're beautiful. Truffles are really beautiful. Do you know what a truffle is?
Yes.
Okay, you looked good.
No. I went over to what Scott Conant's restaurant once, and I was disappointed when they had like the pasta with truffles on it.
You were just disappointed.
Yeah, one, it was so the serving size was so tiny, and then the truffles were just kind of like, they didn't taste much of anything.
I love truffles.
Based on that one, I have no real desire to go have black truffles again. I guess I just haven't had the right ones.
Well, truffle, that's just weird.
You just
might not like truffles. That's okay.
I mean, it wasn't like I was repulsed by it, but I just ate it until, like, I don't know if I'm really getting anything.
I mean, they're like, they're a mushroom, so they're very earthy.
But I feel like I don't know what I was expecting, but I just ate it and I was like, oh, that was it.
Okay,
great.
Well, I don't think they had truffles in anything else, so. No. Yeah. Then he had like the fiddlehead ferns. I thought those were interesting, but yeah. really pretty.
And just even the way that he kind of plaited it, almost like mm-hmm. in a circle there. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. And then Brandy's duck. Do you like duck?
I have not had much of duck. I mean, I can't really speak to it. It wouldn't be my go-to, for sure.
It's not my go-to either, but it can be really good. I just can't eat that much of it. But I thought it looked like she had executed it nicely, the skin. Yeah. It looked crispy. And it was funny because, so she did the hush puppies, which I thought was cute, like a little nod to the Southern thing as well. And so it was funny because the review of her plating, she's like, considering what I gave you, I think I plated it in a really pretty way. I thought she verbalized that well, but it's true. Like, these are not so pretty things that don't, like, she did a good job making them pretty, if that makes sense.
Because Gordon really raved about the plating, but Christina thought it looked gray, and I didn't think it looked gray.
What was gray? But I agree that it wasn't as pretty as, like, Sean's, for instance. But hers was a gourmet version of Southern food.
No, and I thought that, I mean, to take something like that and, mm-hmm. and elevate it like that, yeah. and then also be able to plate it in a way that looks a little bit, certainly more fine dining.
But I will say, I did think her hush puppies looked like falafels. They did.
Oh.
As much as, like, they might have been amazing and tasty, I mean, it did look like a falafel.
And it seems like the consensus was they tasted good, but they may have been a little bit heavy.
A little bit heavy. Well, the whole dish was it did look a little heavy, to be honest. But maybe that's probably what she liked, you know? She probably thought it all did work together.
Now, one thing that she said that she used in there was pickled white strawberries?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
I'd never heard of white strawberries Mm-mm. before. Have you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just...
White strawberries.
That's really?
Yeah. They don't have their flavor's a little bit more like tartish, but more bland, if that makes sense. Oh. Yeah.
Primarily used in cooking or more desserts? Or?
You know what? I rarely see them, but I think I haven't seen them in cooking. I've seen them more in dessert. So
I've never, until this, I'd never heard of a white mm-hmm. strawberry.
So. I don't think I've seen it in cooking. I don't think so.
Same size or is it kind of like a smaller version?
I think it's a little bit smaller.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, interesting. And then pickling it, I wonder what that taste would be like.
Acid and sweetness? I don't know.
I'd be curious to see what that...
Yeah, that'd be interesting. So if anybody in our chat has tried it, let us know. Because we're kind of like lost on that one.
Now, as we're talking about David, people in the chat there, David seemed to really be trying to improve his image in the finale. He was even complimenting Brandy and saying, I love you guys, to the other contestants. That's from Vane right there. And
he
was a little heavy-handed with that. For sure.
Like, that's okay. I mean, I think he probably felt like an idiot.
Yeah. I guess if he has his daughter there, I mean, you certainly don't want to look like a total jerk in front of your daughter if you're trying. But, you know, it's like that. The thing that irritated me is like you were just a crybaby for weeks on end.
Yeah.
So come on now.
Well, he didn't have anything to cry about in his sauce, though. He did have to cry about the actual outcome of the whole dish, but his sauce, they said, was really good. So it had morel mushrooms in it.
Yes.
And it was kind of creamy. It actually looked really good. But I will tell you, it was faux gras and guinea hen. Wasn't it both in? I was confused about that. Like both in this like cabbage roll. I was like, okay, it looks like something you get at like Whole Foods or like the pressed juice place where it's like cabbage that has like a bunch of raw veggies rolled into it and then you just like eat it and you're like, ugh, I'm eating veggies. You know what I mean? It didn't look really beautiful to me. You know what I mean?
And it didn't look exciting to me. That is not a dish looking just at the plating alone. I was like, okay, that does not sound like something that's really going to trip my fancy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that seems to be the downfall in doing this. And I feel like he was certainly encountering that during the dessert portion, is that when you're dealing with eggs.
Well, that's true. And I mean, yeah.
Or technical things like wrapping this in the cabbage, where you're dealing with like small kind of detail type things.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best thing to be doing.
When you're on time crunch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like that is just a recipe for if something goes wrong, it can really throw you off. And I felt like that's what he said.
I was confused that they could still eat it, though, if it was like poultry and it was rare.
Yeah. I mean,
I was surprised. I thought they were going to not be able to eat it. So I thought that was really interesting.
Well, because David certainly isn't happy. And as you saw him during the cooking portion of that, he kind of lifts up a plate and kind of knocks some of them tumble over. So he's got to kind of reconstruct them.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of threw off his timing for everything. And so they don't get cooked as well as they should.
Yeah.
And even Gordon like brings him up And this is the first time where I got a little tired of some of Christina's reactions to stuff, because she'd always like put like her fist in her mouth and she'd be like, that got so.
Like, nobody actually does that.
That was so like, come on, Christina, please, really? Come on.
Did you guys notice when they were visiting their homes? And every shot just had Christina just kind of sitting there awkwardly with her mouth open.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, she didn't say anything, but it kept showing her just sitting there with her mouth open weirdly. I was like,
I can't, you know what? I can't say I noticed that she's, I guess she does kind of do this.
Yeah, she really didn't have much to offer during those home visits.
Not really.
She was just like,
Only during the home visits, Frank?
Well, all right.
Okay. You know, she didn't bother me as much as I thought in the judging, though. I thought it was going to be a little bit more, like, a little worse and over the top, but I thought some of her... In her judging, besides, like, the knuckle-biting thing that you just did, she was actually, like, okay. I was actually okay with her in the judgment. Because I felt like she actually spoke how she felt about certain things. Some of the things, like, she didn't even need to say because everybody had already said it at that point. But they need a voice from everybody, you know?
Yeah, until we get to the dessert portion where she really had to play
well,
it. Like,
of course.
This is sort of what I consider the most important run. Okay, we get it. You're a dessert person. Got it. Okay. Please. Nobody else is like saying like, well, the appetizers and the entrees are certainly the most important part of the meal. Yes. Right, guys? Okay. I did like Gordon calls David up, tells him to look at the plate and says, this is rare. What you're giving us here. So not the best execution. And I feel like after they send away the home chefs and they kind of debate amongst themselves, I still felt like Brandy had, even though Sean really came back strong, I mean, incredibly strong in the entree round, I still felt like Brandy was successful for at least two while Sean had only been really successful in one.
True. That's true.
So I felt like she, at this point, I thought it was Brandy's
choice. She should have a lead. Yeah. Because David wasn't strong. That's true. That's where I thought she could have had a lead in this, was because this was good. Yeah.
Going into the desserts, who did you think?
I was thinking Brandy, but because Sean's thing was really good, but I was thinking Brandy was going to have a leg up.
And I felt like she was just going so consistently that I thought as long as she just nails, she doesn't have to blow everybody out of the water, but she really just sticks the landing on the dessert, how could she not win?
I thought everything she did looked really, really good. Yeah.
So we get to the dessert, as Christina says, certainly the most important part. Okay. All right.
Well, I think so. As I yawn. Sorry, guys.
as they start cooking, we get, because it's the finale and why not, one more last shot at Nathan, where he's
waiting for this.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Where he screams out, come on, Sean. I scream like a little girl there.
His voice like cracked.
Oh, all right. Thanks, Nathan.
I just screamed like a little girl. I was like, and cue Frank.
You know, and it's a MasterChef finale, Nathan. And if you're really going to say you're the bow tie and jacket guy, dress it up. You know, black tie. Come on, black tie it, baby.
Oh, my
God. He couldn't even do that. So, again, another miss.
He can do
miss.
No right.
Exactly. Exactly.
By you.
Jeez. So, what I liked is, as we've been talking about Brandy's dishes there, I really was excited about her dish, just by the description of it.
Yeah, well, and she said cornbread madeleines. And, of course, a madeleine is just a very light and airy little cake. And I knew that a cornbread was going to make it more dense, but I thought it was a cool spin on the madeleine. That's what I was excited to see, because I'm like, this is the South, you know? So I was excited to see that.
And unfortunately, as Gordon bites into it, and they really dragged that out going into a break, it's like,
oh my God.
Let's be honest.
It's definitely. I was like, really?
Ugh.
But yeah, so she had a white chocolate mousse that I thought was really pretty, and then like bourbon caramel sauce.
And a peach puree.
Oh, yeah. And they cooked those with bourbon as well, or she cooked those with bourbon, and then did like the pecans. That's the other one.
And I thought the plating of that was really cool because it's like very far over on one side of the plate, left a lot of negative space on there, which I thought was interesting.
I thought it was very beautiful. I thought it was an interesting take, and I thought it was very appealing. I wanted to eat it. I wanted to try it.
Out of all those, that was one I was most excited to try.
Yeah.
Like, I love cornbread, and just to see like,
I love
a different,
cornbread.
A different spin on that.
Mm-hmm.
But when Gordon said that it wasn't light, which Brandy thought it would be, I figured, all right, then she's kind of blown it. That's where I saw her stumbling back. That really opened up the door for Sean to kind of come in and take the lead for this. You know, and I felt like this seemed like the judge's biggest concern was like Danielle was saying, like, well, you tell me it's one thing, but I can't help. You know, from what you tell me it is to what I'm eating.
But this is my take on it. It's something... I didn't say I'm making a classic madeleine.
Yes.
I didn't say I was making a classic madeleine.
Yeah, if she
said I was making cornbread madeleines. So think of cornbread. Think of the cornbread that you eat when you're eating chili. That sounds really good. But when you eat when you're eating chili, think of that, but like a lightened up, sweetened up, prettied up version.
Yeah, and because when they ask her, why didn't you make a French mandolin? And I loved it. I'm not French. For me to do that, that's not being me.
You told me to put myself on a plate.
Yeah.
I thought it was the way they spun it was stupid. I feel like they were reaching because I think hers were the best. It looked the best.
It did. It just looked, I mean, and, you know, what Sean was doing, he was doing a salted caramel.
His did look good, though. Look, but.
Yes.
I mean, to the degree of difficulty, no. His crust, they said, wasn't. But to be fair, the guy was right. Like, you did a crust in that amount of time where you make the crust, then you have to let it set, and then you pulled it out. And, you know, crust can be, like, you know, a little finicky to work with, but it wasn't. It was more the caramel, I think, that sold him. But, I mean, a caramel and a ganache, I wouldn't say that that's the hardest thing. I mean, doing, like, a mousse, I think, would be a bit harder.
I mean, I guess to David's point, if you think he says it's simplified, but it's not easy. Would you agree with that? It's what he was
Sean's
going to make.
Or David's?
Yes, Sean's.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, easy to screw that up, but he was trying
it
to make
it. Could be. It could be in terms of like the crust could have been soggy, the caramel couldn't have set, like, you know, his ganache might have like it. The ratios would have been off. So there could, I mean, anything's, you can screw up anything. I don't think it was like to the degree that they made it out to be, but
yeah, because I just thought comparatively, it's like that just seemed when he would say this is what my dessert is gonna be. I was like, okay, I feel like that's anything I can go to any.
I think he's not
restaurant
a baker.
And get it.
He's just not a baker. He does food, like not sweets. So, and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, but
so it's like know your strengths.
I mean, I guess Brandy is as a mother and she's made cakes and stuff like that before. But
she's more versatile. She can do more desserts. And in the past, we've seen that she does better desserts than he has. But I don't know. To me, I thought hers looked more professional and more interesting and just more appealing. Like if I had to choose between the two to eat.
Because I felt like if you're looking at somebody's cookbook at the end of this,
yeah.
Like, would you be more excited to cook like a salted caramel chocolate tart? Or would you be excited more to try to cook like the cornbread madeleines?
I still want to try cornbread madeleines.
I would be excited. It's like, oh, that seems like a really cool spin. I'd love to give that a shot.
Yeah. If you're at a restaurant and you look at a menu.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. I saw that.
I would
go over that.
Cornbread madeleines with white chocolate mousse.
Yeah.
You know, I can tell you what I would not order is the cherry dessert that David made. I mean, that wasn't, does that even count as dessert?
I thought
they were like all floored by it. I was like, what he's doing is done. If I was in a restaurant and someone put three cherries on my plate in front of me and they're like, that's your cherry blah 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 dessert, I'd be like, where's the rest of it?
But Maria, they stuffed the cherry with another cherry and then put cherry stuff around it.
Cherry stuff with cherry with
so
more
delicious.
Cherries. It was just, and you know, I get the idea and I thought his plating was pretty to an extent, but like, you know, I get the different textures, but I didn't think you have to like eat the cherry separately and then use the spoon to get everything else. I did not get it conceptually think that it was good.
And And I agree with Gordon's criticism. It's like if this doesn't elevate what this cherry would exist like in its ordinary and taste like in its regular state, then what's the point of doing a dessert like this?
Yeah.
Because I mean, and if you're not if you're not even a cherry person, which I'm not.
I like cherries. I like not the maraschino cherries, but like Michigan, where I'm from, we have the cherry festival every year, and they have the best cherries in northern Michigan.
But
so,
if you were to go to a restaurant and you see this, even David's, which are Sean's, which we thought was not as interesting.
I would pick Sean's over David's.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I can't imagine anybody would go to and pick David's
cherries
as
my
their
first
point.
Yeah.
Plus, like, if you're going to choose a dessert that takes 60 minutes to prepare.
That didn't look like it was 60 minutes to prepare it. Yeah, exactly. It was a little, I was confused.
But he had the gold
and
foil.
The pop rock or the pop candy or whatever that he added in. I don't actually usually like when people add that. I've been to restaurants and I can't think specifically of what the dessert was, but it was in it. And I was like, oh, I don't like it. I don't like those. I've never liked those even as a kid. So I didn't like those in dessert.
Fruits and things like that, as we're talking about Sean, David's cherry. The one thing they did not like about Sean's, even though they raved about it, was the raspberry coulis that he had kind of underneath it.
I don't know why. I thought that might have gone well with it.
I don't know. I mean, like salted caramel and raspberry. I mean, like chocolate and raspberry.
Well, they didn't like it because it soggied the bottom.
Well, yeah,
had it could have made it along the out edge or something.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I understand his reasoning for doing it, because a lot of times when you add fruit to something, it lightens it up. Like if you have pancakes in the morning or French toast, anything that's really like rich and decadent, anytime you just add some fruit on, it brightens it up. So I think he was concerned about it being too heavy.
Are you, because I feel like I've heard people say, like, you know, just doing like the one brush stroke on a plate. It's like, okay, that's really kind of old hat. Would you, are you, do you ever do brush strokes, like, you know, like the recipe bully or whatever?
Not in my house.
No, no brush strokes on your plates?
No, but, you know, I do think it's pretty.
I mean,
maybe
it's
that's
true.
Like the I don't know, 90s baby in me. I don't know if it was like, but even, you know, any nice restaurant I've been to when they've done that for desserts, I just think it's pretty.
Yeah, I always feel like it's just like I never get enough. Like, because I feel like there's just such a little wipe on this. Like, I want whatever you put on there. I probably want more of what than
right.
That little smear you put on
I
there.
I think it's more when they use it for decor. But yeah, it's almost like scraping it off the plate. You know, I even kind of felt like the so for Brandy's caramel sauce that was on there. I thought about that for hers because I'm like, you know, even if you do like a fruit little like thing, fruit can be have a very like strong taste, so you might only need a little bit of it. But, like, when you have caramel, I mean, at least when I have caramel, I want, like, a lot of it. So, but it didn't seem to be an issue for hers because she, you know what I mean? She had, like, that strip of it, but I don't know.
Oh, man. Oh.
Which one did you, like, thought, like, the best? You thought it was Brandy's?
It was Brandy's, hands down. Yeah. I want to just go to Kentucky right now, find Brandy, and ask her to make that for me.
I know. That just sounded really good. That sounded really. And I thought it was so beautiful.
Oh. So, of course, we get done with the desserts and the judges have the debate. Who is going to win this? And it was interesting watching the debate. And Gordon's other, he praised Brandy's appetizer about with the rhubarb on the pork belly. But what he said about Sean's, that he could have just took that plate as is and dropped it into his premier restaurant right there.
His entree.
Yes, his entree. I guess, you know, spoke volumes to how much he thought of that dish.
Yes, yeah. I think that just blew people out of the water.
Yeah. What was cool, because like, this whole season has been about guest judges. Gordon and Christina have been, of course, the constants, but they've been rotating judges in. And I guess what was nice about the finale is they brought back Wolfgang, who had been there at the very beginning. So I thought he was a really good judge to be able to have because he saw them at the beginning and now has seen them at the end. So that was a good way.
Do you think he actually remembered?
He was like, I don't remember you people. I've got a multi-million-dollar empire to run. What do I know? But he seemed like, I did like that they cut to him where he's like, oh, I don't know. And he's just really wringing his face. And just like, so like, oh, what am I going to do?
I feel like that would be a tough decision, though.
All right. So based on everything you saw, before you get real quick to the judge's decision, who out of everything that you saw, I feel like we both can rule out David as a winner.
Yeah, we can rule out David for a number of reasons.
Yeah. Who would you have gone for, Brandy or Sean, based on what you just saw?
Based on what I saw, I personally thought Brandy was going to win because I thought she was more consistent. But because of how it was edited, I thought that they were going to pick Sean. You know, I feel like they talked him up a little bit more, tried to make you have more of a connection with him. But what he did was, at least I feel like he presented something really good.
But I felt like the one that he really just nailed it with that entree dish.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't ruin anything with the dessert.
Right.
I mean, he did something that was, he just technically executed it very well.
Yeah.
But he didn't really like blow you away with something like a unique spin on something.
Right.
He just did a really good execution of that dish.
Right.
To backtrack for 1 second, though, I did like Christina, as we're about to go into the dessert round, where she says, you know, after the appetizer and the entree, I think it's in a three-way tie. I'm like, Christina, no, it is not a three-way tie. What are you talking about? I feel like the only reason you can say that is because if you told those contestants now, it's not a three-way tie.
Well, of course,
then people are going to start phoning it in for that dessert round, which is to her the most important thing. But I'm like, get out of here, Christina. It is not a three-way tie.
Well, everybody did do, I mean, I think because David did do well in the appetizer, and they liked certain parts of his entree. But no, I know.
I was thrown off because I thought Brandy had it even with the misstep of adding cornmeal to a dessert.
Yeah, but everything else she had done was good. Well, except for the plating.
That
was the thing.
Yeah, it just, I agree with you, Misha. I thought she hadn't brought it, she didn't throw her off so much, but they kept on talking Sean up so much, especially with the superb execution of the tart that I felt like, oh, man.
I know. When his dessert turned out, I kind of was like, okay, I think it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And they said hers wasn't, because I think if they would have liked her Madeline, then she was great in basically all three in terms, especially of flavor. So yes. I know. I wish she would have won.
And so as it gets down to it, they announced the winner for this year's MasterChef competition, your home cook, winner of $250,000, a cookbook, a chance to go on the MasterChef cruise. And it is our boy, Sean, who is now going to give up DJing. And
he was so happy, though.
He was.
I mean, I actually was really happy for him because he was really, it felt so genuine. And he really, like, was the passion. I could just feel it, you know?
Well, when he said, like, DJing, he's been doing that for 15 years, since he was 15. And then he just never felt like he had a chance to show his unique voice.
Yeah.
And that with cooking, he finally found that opportunity.
And I love that.
I can totally agree with that. You find something that you really feel like you can speak everything you have inside you to somebody.
And in all fairness, it's probably, I mean, even though I think Brandy would have loved it, she would have made such a great cookbook, and maybe she still will. But I think it would have been tough for her to do some of that, like to do the cruise and stuff, unless she could take her son with her. You know what I mean? I'm just thinking that, like, as a mom, I'm thinking of all the logistics. But I know. Were you bummed?
I was bummed. I really thought Brandy, just because, as we've talked about this whole episode, just I really liked Brandy's spins on her dishes, and I thought she showed a little bit of thinking. I saw more of her and her dishes than I saw of Sean.
Yes.
I never once thought that David was going to win, especially when we got down to the cherries. Cherry upon cherry and cherry and next to a cherry.
So let us know if you guys were happy
yes.
with the winner. I think a lot of people wanted Brandy, but I think Sean was, it was well deserved.
Yeah, I mean, I can't, I'm not angry. I'm a little bummed, but I can't be angry. But folks, that is going to do it for this episode and this season of MasterChef.
Wow.
Yes. Now, I know, thank you so much, everybody, for hopping in the chat and talking to us all this season.
Yeah,
and
we've had a great chat.
Yeah, and I saw some people so thankful for all the kind words that you said about Maria and myself here. You asked about if we're going to be doing a Hell's Kitchen after show. A Hell's Kitchen after show will be happening. I will be on it. Lem will be on it from last season, as well as Robin.
Maria? I'm a maybe.
Maria's a maybe at this point.
I'm a maybe.
At the very least, we're going to rope her in, at least for some guest spots. Yes. So you have not seen the last of Maria and I bantering about food. hopefully, we're going to get her in for a few of the Hell's Kitchens after shows. But in the meantime, folks, like us on Facebook. Give us those 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Hop in the chat whenever we get it back going for Hell's Kitchen, which is going to be like in a week or two. We'll be breaking down the next season of Hell's Kitchen. We'd love to have you join us there. Thanks so much for being with us this entire season. If you want to continue the conversation with us, even after the show is over, Maria, where can they find you?
Yes, please continue the conversation. If you guys are cooking stuff up, show me on Twitter. You can find me at Maria Provenzano. And all my information will be there if you guys need any recipe ideas. My link to my website is there. And thank you guys so much. Please tweet us. I want to hear what you guys are doing and how excited you are for Hell's Kitchen.
Yes, and even if you're not going to cook, just look at the pictures because they're so good. They'll just get you hungry alone. That's what I do. I know I can't cook them, but I will look at those pictures. You can follow me on Twitter at HappyGoJackie. Folks, thanks so much again for joining us this entire season. We've loved having you be a part of the MasterChef After Show. We'll see you for the Hell's Kitchen After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. See you, folks.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.